I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. In the past 24 hours, a lot of words have been used to describe Hurricane Irma. Dangerous, deadly, historic, and they're all accurate. Several Caribbean islands, including Puerto Rico, are already dealing with Irma's powerful impact. And frankly, if you're in the storm's path or potential path, you should take the warning seriously. As Florida's governor tweeted this morning, remember, we can rebuild your home, not your life. The authorities in Florida have started issuing evacuation orders, with the storm likely hitting the state early this weekend. In Cuba, they're also preparing for Irma's arrival.
These are the final few hours, perhaps before I think the winds start picking up and the storm front starts heading fast this way.
That's the BBC's Will Grant in Havana.
People are bracing themselves, becoming acutely aware that now is the time that they need to buy plenty of fresh drinking water, have that to one side, perhaps start boarding up their homes. I haven't seen a great deal of evidence of that going on in Havana itself, but I'm sure on the eastern tip of the island, they're already thinking in those terms, maybe sandbags as well.
Mm. What kind of leadership is the government providing and telling people, this is what you've got to do?
People across the Caribbean are pretty used to dealing with powerful storms. But Cuba has a good track record in terms of hurricane preparedness. In fact, even during times of the worst, most hostile bilateral relations with the US, they continue to work in that area quite well, actually. And I think partly it works here, but it's because people follow the instructions that the government give out. They sort of obey the evacuation orders. They go to the shelters if they're told to do so. There are, of course, consequences if they don't obey government orders.
I know Cubans have dealt with deprivation of commodities for a long time, but is stocking up on goods from the grocery store, whatever you can find, is it a thing that Cubans do before a big storm?
It is, particularly in terms of water. Of course, canned goods are very, very important. As you say, though, the U.S. economic embargo on Cuba makes life difficult in those terms, and particularly in terms of construction materials. Boarding up your home isn't easy if you can't find nails, hammers, you can't find decent 2x4s. You can't go to a Home Depot. Let's face it, there is no such thing in those terms here. It isn't easy for Cubans.
This is the first major hurricane post-Fidel. How much has that played a role in preparations? I mean, he always projected this, I'm the leader, I've got it under control, and we're going to get everybody to safety.
Sure. And, you know, this is the end, really, of the Castro era. And people are aware of that influence no longer being there in the coming weeks and months. Raul Castro is due to step down as president as early as February next year. So maybe rather than looking at this as the first one since Fidel Castro, perhaps it's the last one of Raul Castro. We wait and see what the rest of the hurricane season brings.
Over the years, would you say Cuban authorities have a well-earned reputation for efficiency in preparing for a hurricane? Or is it just projecting efficiency that we see outside of Cuba?
I think it's deserved. I think there have been examples in which they have shown that the consequences would have been worse had they not mobilized as quickly, or had they not been able to simply tell people to leave their homes and have people obediently do so. You know, I used to live in Mexico, and it was difficult to get people to obey the instructions because they wanted to stay with their livestock. They wanted to stay with their properties.
With Irma, we are seeing the flooding and damage in parts of the Caribbean. I saw some video footage from St. Martin earlier today. I mean, people are talking about a historic hurricane. Is there a bit more anxiety than usual this time in Cuba?
The thing that worries most people is the idea of these storm surges coming, flooding into not just Havana, which is obviously a coastal city, but all along the northern coast of Cuba. In Havana itself, where I'm speaking to you from Old Havana, which is obviously famed for its crumbling charm, if you like.
Yeah.
Well, those crumbling homes have got people living in them, and often two and three, four, five families living under one roof. They're well constructed originally, but it's been decades since they've had any investment since they have been able to find sufficient construction materials or building materials to repair roofs, to repair beams. Some of the parts of the eastern tip of the island really haven't recovered from Hurricane Matthew, which clipped the eastern edge of the island on way to Haiti around this time last year. So, you know, everybody is aware that this is, it has the real potential to cause some deadly, deadly effects, consequences.
The BBC's Will Grant there in Havana. Also potentially in Irma's path is Haiti.
Haiti is so much more vulnerable than a country like Cuba, which has such an organized disaster response as well as a robust public health system.
That's Jim Ansara. He's CEO of Build Health International, which is involved in infrastructure projects in Haiti and helped with hurricane relief on the island after Matthew last year.
The Haitian government, which is incredibly resource constrained, just does not have, especially in the rural areas, any kind of presence to really help mobilize people, to get people to shelter, to clothe and house people after a disaster like this.
What did you see when you were there last year after Hurricane Matthew?
You have all the same vulnerabilities that you do in the rest of the Caribbean in terms of the initial storm surge and death and destruction from that. But then you have the added complexity of a very, very weak public health system that can't cope with the aftermath of these disasters. You have a great food insecurity to begin with. And we saw with Hurricane Matthew that almost all the crops and livestock on the Southern Peninsula were destroyed. And there's still incredible food insecurity.
Explain the food security situation a little bit more, because this also plays into infrastructure as well as agriculture.
Most of the agriculture and most of the people in rural Haiti survive on subsistence farming. And they have one very small crop. And when you get catastrophic rains or flooding, that crop is usually destroyed. And that's what happened in the case of Hurricane Matthew last year. And from Hurricane Matthew, there was not a robust enough response from the international community in terms of numbers of organizations or funds. And we're very, very concerned that given what's happening in Houston and what could happen in South Florida, that a response to a catastrophe in Haiti could be even that much weaker given everyone's focus at home.
Well, as I said, I mean, you were there last year after Hurricane Matthew, and now we've got Hurricane Irma. What were the big lessons learned? What did you learn after Hurricane Matthew?
Well, we're based at a large hospital, St. Boniface Hospital in the south, and we started preparing the hospital 4 days before the hurricane. And the hospital was able to operate not only through the hurricane, but immediately after that. And we were able to clear the road and get survivors into the hospital. So with a minimal amount of preparedness, with really small amounts of funding, you know, you can accomplish a lot. The problem is that there just isn't that focus in Haiti.
How should a wealthy country help a country like Haiti that just keeps getting battered and battered by natural disasters? There was the earthquake, Sandy, Matthew, and now Irma.
I work in Haiti. I volunteer. I invest in Haiti because I believe that we have an obligation, both in the United States and in Europe, to Haiti. If you look at the history of Haiti, much of the wealth of this country and many of the European countries was a result of our neglect of Haiti and interference with Haiti. So I feel particularly that it's incumbent on wealthy nations to help. And, you know, Haiti is 600 miles from Miami Beach, but you could be in the poorest, most impoverished parts of Africa. And to have that kind of disparity that close to our shores, I think is just wrong.
Jim Ansara, the CEO of Build Health International. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.